This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Matson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Hey, what is going on? I am Rob Fox, and I am joined by Dan Holloway. We have a very special guest today, Will Witt of PragerU is on this show.
Yeah.
Author, podcaster, host of Will and Amal Alive on PragerU.
You didn't say special guest the same way that Dan said your intro. Like you were polite.
Yeah.
Like actual special guest, not like special guest.
Yeah. But to
some
be
fucking asshole from whatever, right?
To be fair,
that's basically what he said. He's a dick.
He considers nothing special, though.
That's true, yeah.
He was like, how was your baby?
Yeah. It's like, congrats, get back to work.
Wait, yeah. why would baby be in quotations, though? Like, it's a real baby, right?
Because
I bought it a real fucking baby shower gift, and if it's not a real baby, then you and I need to have a conversation offline about that.
It's real to me.
Anyways, what are you doing today, guy? Yep, that's you.
Saying hi to you. How's it going, Will?
Oh, yeah, listen, I didn't know if that was one of the guy's names, Guy, or whatever was going on. I'm good, man. Moving into a new office here in Los Angeles, so I'm doing well. Yeah, I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
LA is a hellhole.
So, I guess it's good for cardio, though, because you got to jump over all the fucking shit in the streets and hobos and such.
That's a lot of running.
You got to run from hobos. Wasn't there some weird ass, there's like a fake workout program where a serial killer stalks you and you have to run away from him all the time? It's kind of like a Kato situation with Pink Panther.
It just sounds like the Spartan run to me.
Yeah.
It's just it's refugee cosplay for a weekend. It's
Wait until all the LA mudslides and then you can run through the mud away from hobos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you're not really covered in mud. You're more covered in the poop on the street. So it works that way too.
Oh boy.
Well, you know,
I like Texas.
Yeah.
Fucking up.
Not a lot of shit here in Texas. I mean, there's a lot of cow shit, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of cow shit. You go to the right place, it's just nothing but shit in the air. It's just not human shit. Yeah. So the biggest news with you right now so far, I believe, is you have a new book out?
Yeah, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. That's my new book. Came out about a month and a half ago now. So first book I ever did, and super pumped about it, man. It's been awesome. Just got back from a month-long book tour, actually, back to Los Angeles.
Where did you go for your tour?
Man, I went basically everywhere. So pretty much all over the East Coast. And I did tons of stops in Florida, did the South, went through the middle of the country, and then eventually hit the West Coast and eventually made myself all the way back to Los Angeles. So it's so weird, man. You see all these different places in comparison to somewhere like Los Angeles. There's really like Los Angeles, we just did vax mandates here. We got the mask mandates still here. It's like everywhere else, man, it's just open. Everywhere else is back to normal, but here everything is just still so screwed up.
Well, I mean, look, you know, it's California.
I think Bill Maher was complaining about that last night.
Oh yeah,
on the show. Maybe it wasn't last night. Well, it was very recent that he was complaining.
You voted for it, Bill. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah,
I don't
seriously
have a whole lot of sympathy for these assholes who all of a sudden have a problem with the fucking way things are going that they voted for. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? It's like one of the big chief complaints I've had about Ilhan Omar over the years was you came from a shithole Somalia, and now you're like, well, back home, we used to do it this way. And like, yeah, and it in Somalia. The fuck are you talking about? That's like being on the Pittsburgh Pirates, showing up to the Dodgers or the Braves or somebody else that's actually good at baseball and be like, well, back in Pittsburgh, we did it this way. Like, all right, cool, bro. Why don't you shut the fuck up right quick? Because nobody cares about that. Or maybe I'm being too harsh. I don't know.
Where were you going? No, no. Where were you going on the book tours? I know you make a lot of college campus stops for Prager, right? Were you hitting a lot of college campuses, or was it more cities? What was the gist of the tour?
Yeah, I mean, it was about half and half. I mean, no bookstore is really going to let me in. You're not going to see Barnes & Noble having Will Witt coming to their store to set up shop and do a book signing.
To be fair,
you're too radical.
You look like you hang out at a bookstore coffee shop.
Yeah.
No, that's the idea. Listen, if you can make the people on the campuses think you're one of them, then you can change their mind. If I looked like, you know, Mitch McConnell, I don't think I'd be doing a very good job at being able to go out and change people's minds.
Can you find who's Giorgio? Look for that picture of the turtle from the old Disney movies, and I want you to try to put it side by side with Mitch McConnell. We'll get back to that here in a little bit, because that's there's no real point to be made there. I just think it's funny. Yeah. And I want to see it, and I don't want to go through the effort of looking at myself.
I was going to say, if you look like Mitch McConnell, they would only let you into a pond.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I don't think they'd let me within enough feet of the school, so...
Yeah, he does kind of look like a... I mean, a lot of these old conservative people, even some of the young conservative people, not that they have a not that it's proprietary to the right, but they're some weird-looking people. Like, I've always thought that Ted Cruz looks like a gay mortician. He looks like if Uncle Fester from the Addams Family had hair.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like to me. Like, dude, I thought these are supposed to be popularity contests, and it shows that... Your physical level of attract. So there's all these studies done that if you're more physically attractive, you succeed to a higher degree than other people in your field, regardless of what the field is, typically speaking, right? Over enough time. I'm not sure that that's the case in politics. I think you might get penalized a little bit for being too attractive, right? I mean, when's the last time we had a hot president?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Bush, Obama.
Obama was pretty good looking.
Bush, Obama, and Biden were all good looking
when
they were
younger.
Are
you fucking kidding me? Well, maybe when he was... I mean, Obama is a goofy looking dumb... He's got big ass fucking dumb ears.
It's stupid. He's not bad looking. Look, go find a picture of him you know, on the beach or whatever. It's not too bad.
Well, what happened? He got in a car wreck and his ears flew forward and the rest of him stayed put? Fuck off with that bullshit. No. Probably Kennedy was the last hot president. I'm talking about hot. Did you see Obama play basketball? If a woman... If you are... physically attractive enough, and then a woman sees you play basketball the way he played basketball, she's like, oh, this guy's a fucking nerd, man.
Maybe Ford was the last good-looking president.
Gerald Ford was a running back in Michigan. Yeah, he was
a model too.
A lot of them were pretty good-looking when they were younger.
I guess it depends on what you mean by good-looking too, because Teddy Roosevelt is probably very attractive to a lot of women because he fist fought a fucking bear.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
You don't know what how hot Teddy Roosevelt was for 1900 or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, JFK put his brother Bobby, who looks very similar to him, in charge of a secret CIA program that renditioned people and gave all kinds of money to fucking foreign dissidents, murdered people all over the place, overthrew governments. Why wouldn't you want the attorney general in charge of that shit? So we're talking about how much we trust the government today with Will Witt.
Yeah.
And you trust the government how much? 0%.
Zero. Yeah. I mean, I was just on another show with Abby Johnson. She was asking me about the biggest problem right now with the young people that I talk to. The big is that people are willing to give up any sort of freedom for what authority tells them to do. Mm. I mean, they're fine giving up freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, being able to do a thing just because experts tell them to do something, or the government or the bureaucracy or whoever tells them that they need to do something. They're totally fine with giving any sort of semblance of freedom up just so they can do whatever these people want them to do. They'll bend over backwards for all these people.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, I mean, from my perspective, it's, I don't think people necessarily feel like they're bending to authoritarianism. They're afraid and intellectually lazy. Like not even just intellectually lazy, lazy in general. So if the government can take care of this problem, then I don't have to. That is the complete wrong answer. And by the way, completely un-American as well. You as a citizen of Earth in general, but a citizen of the United States especially, your entire life should be about boxing the government out. You know what I mean? Like, stay out of my town. We're good here. Like, somebody's hungry.
100%.
Yeah, we'll feed them. Get out of here. Fuck out of here. Because you can't trust these assholes. I mean, you can't trust corporations any more than the government, but at least the corporations are after money, which we can just stop spending money if they fuck up. With the government, they take your money, and then if you don't give it to them, they come and put you in jail, right? Which we should probably take a look at that whole system, right?
Well, it's like positive reinforcement. I mean, you look back in like the 1960s, B.F. Skinner, this famous psychiatrist, he was doing experiments on rats. And he was like, oh, if I do negative reinforcement on these rats, they'll do the behavior I want for a little bit, but then they'll go back, they'll revert. Mm-hmm. But the rats that he did positive reinforcement on, you find that they will always stick with that behavior. I mean, that's what we have with people nowadays. They feel like they can get away positive behavior, or this negative behavior that is being told that is actually positive. So you have this positive feedback loop of people continually doing stuff that makes them safe and comfortable and never having to be passionate or brave. And those things are heralded as good in the society now. So they're lazy and they can feel like they can get away with it because apparently it's good for them. But really, it's someone who's giving you the cookie and saying, hey, you're doing a good job. And then we just get control more and more.
Right. Yeah. Skinner is he developed operant conditioning. If you're not familiar with that, it's classical conditioning is positive or negative response to stimulus and stuff like that. But operant condition is like he said, like you're training a dog, right? It's a lot easier. Some things you have to train a dog and fucking zap them or whatever the fuck. But as a puppy, you don't put an e-collar on a dog and start training it like that. Typically, you use treats. You know what I mean? Because it makes a more lasting impression. And especially over time, once the dopamine turns into serotonin, for lack of a better phrase, then the habitual nature of that becomes permanent in a lot of cases, unless there's some kind of fucking trauma that they experience. So, yeah, I mean, Skinner was probably smarter than whomever is cruising around these days. Although, I don't know, I'm not even sure how I would frame the state of America now. I mean, Obama's like campaigning for Terry McAuliffe and saying that all of these, all of this concern about, I guess, cultural Marxism and critical race theory and all that bullshit is not real. It's like just made up and stuff like that. Well, I mean, they're teaching at schools and shit, but I don't know how real you need it to be. And it reminded me of Jerry Nadler saying that Antifa doesn't exist because what, they don't have a website and a corporate charter, you stupid fuck. Yeah. I mean, they're having meetings. What the fuck else do you need? That's enough for a criminal conspiracy trial, but not enough in Congress's eyes to be an actual organization. But I do think that a lot of people on the right have kind of missed the mark on this one. This isn't just Marxism. You know what I mean? That's very reductive. It's postmodernism for sure, which stems out of Marxism, but postmodernism is way broader than just Marxist ideology. You know what I mean? It's way worse than that. It's something that I think that if we don't define it properly, we're going to miss a lot of things and not account for everything that's happening.
I think calling it Marxism at all is a horrible idea because, I don't know, I grew up hearing everything was socialism and you hear that over and over again from the right, right? So it's it's a little bit of a boy cried wolf situation to me where I'm like, oh, that's Marxism too.
Yeah, I mean, even with JFK, he was like super... a lot of people thought he was a commie, like fucking commie or JFK, because he was a Democrat. Like, no, he was like murdering Russians all over the world. Are you kidding me? But yeah, it's a little reductive. I think we need to figure out a different way. And I've had this conversation with a bunch of fucking people from the left and the right over the last couple of months. I'm not really sure what to call it. I mean, it's certainly authoritarianism. There's no question about that. But how do you define it in a way that really gets into the unique variety that we're experiencing right now? What are your thoughts on that?
What I've been calling it recently is high-tech feudalism is what it seems like. It seems like you can get stuff from China, you can get a TV, you can get cheap plastic goods, you can get basically whatever you want, mic equipment for your podcast, whatever, you can get anything that you want super cheap from another country, exploited labor, doesn't matter. But when it comes to actually being free or having any sort of, you know, autonomy over the things that you do, we are losing that freedom. And so people feel like they're free because they can get certain, kind of like I was talking about before, things that give them a positive feedback loop very cheaply and easily. And you can, you know, watch porn all day and you can order food to your house and you can work from home and you don't really have to do anything brave or anything. But in reality, you're controlled. I mean, it seems like you have the government who's controlling you, the corporate special interests who have basically bought out all of our politicians. You have the universities, which are all controlled by the postmodernists. So it's like, the way for people to actually, and then we have the big tech social media, which is censoring people with different points of view. So, I mean, it really feels like it's like we have lords, overlords who provide us with a sustenance enough to keep us doing their bidding. But in reality, it's like we are slaves to a system that is now in control of America. We do not have the country that we used to have.
Right. But yeah, I agree with that. I think it's the interesting part about all this is that it's none of it's real. It's all like imaginary power. It's kind of like if there was a run on the banks, then the U.S. financial system would be kaput, right? If people started selling off their Bitcoin and whatever else, if there were any of the market influencers that make shit crash happen, it would crash because it's not real. Like, that doesn't mean there aren't real effects from it. It's just to say that it's Tinkerbell. Like, the politics is feudalism in a way, no matter what the breadth and scope of it is. I mean, it's just barons lording over people, whether they were elected or not. But it only these 450 assholes in DC only have power because we say they do. Like, there are institutions to protect their power, but manned by us. You know what I mean? It's like the Fight Club speech in the bathroom. Like, bitch, we serve, we do all this stuff. So we are okay doing all this stuff and you getting rich or whatever the fuck, as long as you act normal. But when you start being a dick, I mean, look, that's a problem though, because the social contract is based on mutually assured destruction. These rich assholes and the fucking politicians are meant to believe that we will fuck them up if things don't go according to plan. And we have no appetite for fucking them up because we lose basic comforts in life. And everybody's just grown too comfortable these days and have no tolerance. They have no tolerance for any even short-term discomfort anymore.
I mean, they basically turned us into ciphers. Essentially, that's like politics has become so corporatized now that, I mean, you're going on Twitter. I'm sure you guys are on there, on Instagram, whatever. And you're seeing the stuff that conservative or left-wing politicians or just influencers, whoever, are putting out there. And it's like, you know what these people are going to say before they even say it. You know a news story is going to come out and you know the people on the right are going to have this opinion. You know the people on the left are going to have this opinion. And it's just like this political corporate landscape where everybody is just vying for points from their own side. And the people who are in charge of the parties know that. And they know that if people leave outside of these parties, then they'll be a free thinker. But they don't want people to be a free thinker. They want people to toe the party line. They want me to be this Republican person who's going to say all these Republican things. They want the Democrat person to say all the left-wing things and just have this battle ongoing. When in reality, like we were just saying, I mean, there are people who, the people in government and the corporate special interests, they know exactly what they're doing, man. They know what is happening and they know the control that they have over us.
Right. So you're Prager is pretty conservative. And I imagine, yeah. Well, based on what I've seen you and you're relatively conservative as well. What's something that you think conservatives are just wrong about right now? Because there's a lot of look, I don't want to reduce down to one like single voter issue, because it's nonsense. People talk about abortion a lot, but in every exit poll, it's like 2-3% of people vote based on that. So it's as much as people get riled up about it, it really isn't an issue that affects elections one way or another. But there are some issues. I mean, in peacetime, jobs are the most important indicator of a successful economy, job creation. And we're seeing that it's not good now. But anyways, I'm digressing. So what's something that's a widely held conservative position that you think is just off the mark a little bit?
It's easy. Income inequality. I mean, I will hear conservatives talking about income inequality all the time and say, oh, well, income inequality is a good thing. Like, it's good that we have people who are getting really rich, and that's like fine that we have income inequality. It's like, this can be further from the truth. It's something that I used to believe. And it's like, income inequality can be good if the poorer classes are getting really more wealthy and the middle class is getting wealthier and also rich people are getting richer. That can be a good thing. But that's not what we're seeing in America today. The poor are getting poorer, the middle class is totally shrinking, and the rich is just expanding. And I think that's something that Republicans in Congress really need to address. I think that the conservative think tanks need to address. And I think the people who are in news and media and on social media need to address as well. I mean, I try to address it. And I have all these conservative people getting in my mentions saying, you sound like a leftist. I'm like, I don't sound like a leftist. This is just a part of the bigger problem of America. I mean, why do you think I keep going back to this, but man, it feels like these big corporations are working hand in hand to lobby with the government to make it so that the people who we have put in power to make things happen for us could care less about anything that happens to us because they're only doing it for their own special interests. And that's because of these people who have all this money and capital that they have done in some ways by exploiting the lower classes in this country and have destroyed the middle class. I mean, look at Chicago. Look at Chicago in the 1980s. It had a growing middle class. And now look at it. I mean, the poor has expanded. There is almost no middle class left. And the rich have gotten even more richer and dense in that place. I think income inequality is a huge deal that I don't think people are really talking about at all.
Yeah, I wonder what you would call a rising tide that doesn't lift all boats. Like, what do you call that? Because a rising tide is meant to lift all boats. That's what we were told.
Right.
And it, to me, it's like the reverse of the trickle-down economics thing that Reagan talked about. This is just a more positive way of phrasing it. But if the system isn't working for everyone, particularly the people who it's meant to work for, which is the non-aristocratic folk, then you got to look at the system. It's not a matter of right versus left. It's a matter of is this working or is it not working? And if it's not working, then we've got to fucking fix it. It doesn't help to bury your head in the sand or hide behind your donkey or elephant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
100%.
What were you going to say, Bob?
I was going to say, so you get that kind of shit from people on the right when you diverge, I guess, like you said earlier, which is, you know, like you don't hit every talking point that you're supposed to hit, essentially. You don't hit all the layups.
Right.
But your book, and this kind of goes back into just how you address things in general, your book, the subtitle to it is, you know, taking on liberal arguments with logic and humor. Presumably that's how you like to win people over with that. When you are pitching a conservative idea to a liberal, or maybe a liberal idea to a conservative, how do you address that? In what ways with the logic and humor do you pitch these ideas?
Well, first, the humor is a super important aspect of it. I mean, the left wants to destroy comedy. They're trying to destroy stand-up comedians. And if you say anything offensive, then you shouldn't be allowed to say it. And I mean, you go to a comedy club here in LA and all the jokes are just about how much white people suck and it's all progressive and everything. I mean, comedy is terrible. They want to destroy it. They want to destroy it because they know that if there's two people who disagree and they're laughing about something, then they can probably come to some sort of consensus or have a good time together. And I think that's why they want to destroy it. So using those types of strategies within when you're talking to people, you know, make it light. Hearted, make it fun. It doesn't have to be some like thing where you're going up to them and saying you're such an idiot and here's why. You know, most people like I was a liberal atheist my entire life, right? And I went 18 years through my life never hearing a conservative viewpoint. So we get conservatives on Twitter and everything and they're like, how do these people not know this? These leftists are so stupid. How do they not know this? And it's like these people have never been presented a different point of view. They've never read the material. They've never heard any of these things. Their professors don't tell them. Like, of course they're not going to know these things. And so that's why with the logic really comes with the old Socratic method of asking questions. That's what I do. When I go on campuses or on the streets of LA or whatever it is, and I'm talking to people, I'm asking them questions because it's not me necessarily changing that person's mind. It's them changing their own mind because they can't answer the question that I gave them. And then they might go home and do more research. I mean, I'll finish up videos and talking to people and I've changed their mind and they don't even know I'm a conservative at the end of our talk. Just because I was able to ask them questions with the facts infused into them. So I think that's really important. Instead of going up to people and telling them, like, here are the facts about taxes, abortion, or you should really have a little more, I think, compassion in some ways and say, hey, here's some questions.
Yeah, Bob, you're cutting
out there for a second. Did we lose him?
I'll give him a minute to catch up.
I'm on.
Oh, there we go. All right, cool. Sorry, we lost you there for a sec. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's too much of a proclivity for people to dance on the graves of their enemies. And it's because they see the other side as their enemies, and that's not the case. It's just not true. It's not true that other ordinary Americans who differ politically from you are your enemy. And if you think that way, then you've lost the game already, frankly. I mean, How often do we come to terms of mutual understanding after total war? You know what I mean? It just doesn't work like that throughout human history. Now, there are peace treaties and shit like that. We made one of those back in the late teens that turned into a pretty bad deal for a lot of people in Western Europe, especially. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work that you berate people. And dance, and when you win an argument, dance on their graves. Like, no, it's just not. I don't understand it. Honestly, I don't understand it. It's kind of like the it's like following up the conversation the way that we're conducting it right now, which is not applying the principle of charity, which is to take the other person's words at their best possible meaning and not the worst. Like, so you're saying you fucking hate race or hate everybody? No, look, dude, I said that what you said is bullshit, and here's the data behind it. Like, oh, okay,
yeah, right.
Well, I mean, it's if you don't apply the principle of charity in the end, at the end of this, and this is what the guy we had on last week, who works with Bogosian and Jordan Peterson, all those guys, was talking about.
James Lindsay?
No, not James Lindsay, but he's one of the guys in their group. Yeah, he's they're making like anti-woke documentaries and shit together now. He's like, for him, the way he closed out the show, the most important thing that he had to say was, you know, there has to be, and I've said this for several years now, there has to be some pathway from being wrong to being shown you're wrong to then becoming right that doesn't follow with being called a hypocrite or fucking flip-flopper. Like, no, it's new information.
Right.
It's how the fucking shit works. Everybody's wrong about everything until they're right about it.
I think people are even afraid of being stigmatized as like a convert or wrong or anything like that. They don't want to be labeled anything.
There's a lot more social currency in sticking to your guns than accepting new information, and that's a fucking problem.
Right.
Right? Why the fuck? What? Where in the Socratic method does it say to bury your head in the sand?
Right. Right, exactly. I mean, you go on social media right now, man, and it's like every person on both sides, it's like, how can I just dunk on the other person? I'm going to do this quote tweet, and how can I just dunk on this other person as hard as possible? And it's like, that is not conducive to helping anything that is going on right now. And I'll be honest, I mean, I've done it. We've all taken part of it, because that's the way to build an audience. I totally get that. But I mean, it's just, I think it's what has divided us so deeply right now, is all this social media dunking and thinking that exactly what you were saying about being right, man.
So you, I said this earlier, you go to a lot of college campuses and stuff like that. A lot of your Prager videos talk to college kids. I think the man on the street stuff, how have you been, and you speak at stuff too, how have you been received on college campuses typically? Because everyone obviously knows the sort of like insane stuff that you might see at Cal Berkeley if there's a conservative, if like Ben Shapiro shows up or something, and and there's like fucking desks getting thrown through windows and shit. But a lot of times too, there, I mean, like, you know, those are the ones that make the headlines, but a lot of times too, a speaker shows up and no one even knows what the hell's going on, right? Like, you just show up, you give your speech and leave. What is your average experience on a college campus? And then what is kind of the most insane thing you've experienced in terms of being a conservative speaker showing up?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of times there's a lot of good kids and people who come from the area who just want to hear me speak and do a book signing or whatever it is, man. And it's like, for the most part, it's pretty good. I mean, usually afterwards, there will be some leftists who maybe write a piece about me for their school newspaper who are in the audience, or, you know, maybe ask me a dumb question or something like that. You know, I wish that some of the leftists who would come and potentially ask questions would actually ask better questions, because I know that they go on Twitter, like this one guy, I spoke at University of New Mexico. And he comes to the event. He doesn't say anything. I don't even know this person's there. And then I go on Twitter like an hour later after the event, and this guy has done this whole thread basically saying why Willowitz sucks, why Willowitz a racist. These are the things that I said during my event. And I'm like, this seems like a damn highlight reel. You know, he's coming and saying all my best lines from the event, but he was trying to slander me. And it's like, dude, you had the entire time to go up to the Q&A, ask me a question, tell me what you think. And you chose not to. You chose to just go on Twitter and bitch about me afterwards and say what's wrong. It's like you had every opportunity to do that. I spoke at University of Maryland about 3 weeks ago for my book tour, and I had 50 protesters show up to my event, right? 50 protesters. One of them's got this sign that says Will Witt is a racist and a liar. And I go up to him. I even tell the security, I'm like, yo, you guys chill out. Like, I'm just going to go up to him myself. I don't want you coming with me. It's intimidating. And I go up and I'm like, man, I'm sure that conservatives had said some lies about you guys. I'm sure that you guys have heard some lies about me. Why don't we have a conversation and talk about it? And what do? I mean, they start screaming at me. They're cursing at me, yelling obscenities at me. None of them would have a conversation. I said, come to the event. You can be first in line for the Q&A. There's a row that is reserved for you. Not one of them showed up to the event. You know, and it's like I give these people every single opportunity to come and talk to me and not feel like I'm trying to silence them or anything. And none of them ever do it, man. They don't come to the events and they don't want to talk.
Based on University of Maryland basketball fans, that might have just been normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
we were talking about turtles before the show, or early in the show too. Yeah.
Yeah, so. We have the picture of the.
Oh yeah, put that up. Put that up on the screen. Did you see that? Yeah, that's basically the same guy. The glasses are a little bit smaller, and there's no hat on the right, but that's the same dude. So, are we done here?
Yeah. Have you ever needed your security? I know you said you're like, you're fine. Like, I can go talk to them. Have you ever actually been like escorted away, like you would see on some of the crazier, I guess, like Twitter highlights of a college speaker?
You know, the times that here's one. I spoke at University of Northern Colorado this spring, right? And the security was supposed to be there for me to protect me. All right. I get there and this is in Colorado and they're like, hey, you have to wear a mask while you speak. I'm like, the hell I am. You think I'm wearing a mask while I speak? Are you? That's ridiculous. So I get up on stage and I tell them I'm not going to cater to your delusions. I take my mask off and they cut my mic. Right. And then about 50 Black Lives Matter protesters, all people in the back, they start screaming. They're slamming on tables. They're threatening the other students and people who came to hear me speak. They're flipping tables. I mean, they're going apeshit, right? These people are going absolutely crazy at my event. And so I'm trying to give my speech while yelling over these people. It's not going well. The police then come up to me and they come up to me on the stage and they say, hey, Will, you got to leave. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, are you going to kick these protesters out? They're like, no, you're making people unsafe because you didn't wear a mask. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so they kick me off campus. They kick me off campus and let these hooligans just totally make a mess and a mockery of the entire event. And they kick me off campus. Luckily, there was about, I don't know, maybe 150 people left who still came to come and see me. And I took them out onto the street right outside of campus and gave the speech to them outside because I wasn't going to be silenced by these people. But it was, you know, that's the level of sometimes even the security. You're supposed to have them there for you. And then they come and they kick you off for some reason. So, you know, that's how it is.
Well, I would think that Black people would be at the White House protesting vaccine mandates because they're having a far more disproportionate effect on Black people than anything that any conservative author I know is. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look in New York, 65% of people, Black people there, are being basically excluded from public life now because they refuse to let the government inject shit into their bodies again. Which, I mean, the debate about efficacy and safety of vaccines has nothing to do with this because I don't think that's even a debate. I don't care about that shit. The debate is, fuck you. I'm not going to do what you tell me, which used to be, a good song. And now it seems a little weird. I wonder if Rage is going to come back and perform that song again, but switch the lyrics up. You know what I mean? Fuck you. I do what they tell me. Because this is this same group of people who spent decades. I mean, since the fucking late 50s, early 60s, they have been rightfully distrustful of government to a degree that, and it's weird how, so everybody hates the government. You know what I mean? We just hate different parts of it. Everybody hates the DMV. I'll say that for sure. Everybody hates
Actually, the Travis County Tax Office can go fuck itself. Morning, getting my car title back is I want to stab people.
What's the issue here?
It's the worst.
I went to the tax office and was like, I have my letter of, you know, the lien holder's off. Like, so give me, like, I'm trying to get the lien holder off because I paid off like 8 years ago. Mm. And I showed up and they're like, yeah, you got to make an appointment and this isn't the right office. So I went online to make an appointment and there's no opening for like a month. For a conservative state, man, this is a lot of bureaucratic red tape.
Well, look, they got to make their money, right? But that's the thing. So conservatives hate the government because of taxes, because of our social welfare programs and mandates of varying degree. And people on the left hate the government because they don't like police and they don't like sweetheart deals with corporations and blah, blah, blah. Everybody hates the same group of people in Washington, basically. It'd be sweet if we could disagree on...
Right.
Like, hey...
I hate their pitching staff. I hate their lineup.
Yeah, but we're both rooting for all of us, right?
Right, yeah.
Sweet. So fuck those guys. That would be nice. It's... And you know, people... I really wonder... I like to ask these questions. When you're talking about questions you ask people and you generally want to hear their answers to. I want to hear answers from people who supported the Koch brothers back in the day and Mitt Romney and all of his corporations or people bullshit because they're not, right? Facebook's a corporation. Is that a person that you trust and want to have an impact on your fucking election? No, of course not. So we all agree about some of the same principles. We just selectively apply that shit across the spectrum. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't want the healthcare debate is a very good one for this, because conservatives tend to want privatized healthcare and liberals tend to want government funded single payer healthcare, right?
Right.
I don't want the government or some fucking corporation in charge of my health. I think that it is unethical to tell people in the richest country in the history of the world, you can be as healthy as you can afford to be. And I think it's fucking lunacy to expect that the government can do any better at healthcare than they've done at taxes and the fucking DMV. Give me a break. Like, there's other options here, folks. There's a lot of stuff we can do that doesn't involve surrendering our autonomy when it comes to medicine, literally keeping us alive, to these assholes who want nothing but more money and more power. You know what I mean? There's got to be a better solution than this. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, look, we are in the richest and most wealthy, I mean, country ever, right? People think things are so good. And then we look at some of the ways that our politicians and these corporations handle health. I mean, looking at all the pesticides and things that they're putting on food. Look at the animal farming with adrenaline rushing through their bodies, which has been shown to be bad when people are eating this horrible food, or the processed food, or these seed oils and all this type of stuff for our health that is just genuinely bad for us, right? That is making us sicker. That is making us into an obese society with all these other problems. And it's like you would think that people in charge of this country would know about this, or at least try and do something about it. But again, I mean, it's going back to what we were talking about. It's much easier for them to take money from a Monsanto Farms for a lobbying gig and then sell out farmland than actually look at the problems that are going on and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be putting radon all over our food and having people eat it all the time. I mean, or with the plastics and people consuming those things. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I necessarily know the exact solution for fixing all that stuff, but there's so much going on that I think people have no idea about, that I think that the people who are in charge know about, but who refuse to do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, what the author Alec Ross talks about quite a bit is that we need to renegotiate what the social contract is, basically, right? Like, if the government exists to provide basic safety and security, and like, that's fine, and roads and shit like that, send me a bill, right? Or send me a fucking proposal about how much it costs, and then
whether we can make a left turn into our office.
Yeah. We can decide, right? Pretty at the lowest possible level, we can decide how things should be. That's the way our system of government is set up. And I'm fine.
I mean, you should have like an app. You should have like an app where you can like choose the things that you want your tax dollars to go to or something. But it's crazy. Like, these people in Congress will say the border wall is racist. The border wall is racist. Then you look at this $3.5 trillion plan, and they're giving money to other countries around the world to build walls around their cities and countries to keep people out. It's like the level of hypocrisy is just maddening. And then we're paying for it, you know?
Hey, Will, real quick, we got some ads to do, so I'm going to knock these out real quick. Don't get back to talking to you, if that's all right. First up, we have Ghostbed. They're our favorite advertisers in the world. They've been with us forever, 5 years and counting. They'll be with us until we are literally ghosts, until we die, and then are buried on top of a ghost bed. Not in a coffin, just on top of a ghost bed in a hole. But yeah, Ghostbed, best mattresses you can find anywhere, online or otherwise, and they're super-duper affordable, too. And now, not now really, still they've been this way for a while running these two deals, but you can get an even bigger discount than you already would on them just by virtue of them being affordable in the first place. Ghostbed's running two deals. You probably know about them if you listen to the show regularly, but if you haven't, the deals are twofold. One, first deal number one, it's a bundle deal. You get 40% off, and what you do is you start out with one of their four mattresses and an adjustable base. And then you build on the bundle from there. So if you want some pillows and sheets, you want another mattress, if you like bought a new house and you got to fill a bunch of bedrooms and you need to buy a couple mattresses, stuff like that, this is the way to do it. Start again with the mattress and adjustable base, and then build on from there, sheets, pillows, another mattress, whatever. You get 40% off if you do that by going to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Or if you don't need the exact combo of a mattress and an adjustable base and you want to shop a little more a la carte, you can do that too. You just need a mattress. You just want their cooling sheets and pillows, which are awesome and amazing for both the summer and when the heat's cranking in your house in the winter. You can do that by, again, going to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. and then using the promo code Drinking Bros, and that'll get you 30% off of everything. So you can go either way on that, 40% off with the bundle deal, 30% off with the promo code Drinking Bros, and either of those is at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Ghostbed, sleep so good it is scary. Truly terrifying how good that sleep is. Next up, we've got GetRoman.com. Roman is awesome. I don't know. It doesn't say to start out by saying it's awesome, but really it is. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros now to speak with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction and get $15 off your first month of treatments. When the moment for intimacy arrives, you need to be ready. You need to be Roman ready. All right, and it, you know, stuff can happen, whether you, you're just getting with someone for the first time, or you know, you've been in a relationship for years. You want the confidence to know that everything's going to go well, and you're going to enjoy the moment when the moment comes. Erectile dysfunction is actually more common than you'd think. It happens in 52% of men between the ages of 40 and 70. Or they will experience it at some point. Benefits of ED treatment, you know, it helps you reconnect with your partner, rediscover the joy of sex. Roman Ready is confidence personified. All right, it is the self-assurance that comes from knowing you've prepared yourself for the moment. Getting started with Roman is simple. You go to, again, GetRoman.com/drinkingbros, not Roman.com/drinkingbros. GetRoman.com/drinkingbros and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with the U.S. licensed healthcare professional and take care of it. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Their system is confidential and discreet. No big logos or labels on the packages if you're worried about that. So yeah, I mean, it's everything you want in terms of both discretion and results, I would say, as well. Again, go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today. And if you're prescribed, you know, get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this fall. Roman ready. Last but not least, we got our Drinking Bros store. We got merch. We sell merch, you guys. I don't know if you knew this or not. Go to drinkingbros.com, shop.drinkingbros.com, or you can just go to drinkingbros.com and hit the shop button. But yeah, the merch is awesome. Got everything you want. The defund politician stuff you see Dan wearing all the time. We got that on shirts, both long sleeve and short sleeve, black and white. A couple different hoodies, gray, hats, mugs, like a, I don't know if it's actually a Yeti, but like a coffee, you know, to go things, stickers, all kinds of stuff like that. Drinking Bros logo merch, American Party podcast merch. I just, you know, if you like the company, if you like the shows, you're going to love the merch store. Also, don't tread on these, which is just a snake with two huge testicles. Drinking Bros koozies, gay for straight, as in George Strait. APAC, all politicians are cons, all you know the Drinking Bros stuff, you know, all of our stuff. Check that out now, drinkingbros.com or shop.drinkingbros.com, either one. The merch is awesome. We have our Fauci stuff too, that is that might have actually, I don't know if that even actually is still in the store. That might have completely sold out. Keep checking back though, that we might have that as well. But yeah, drinkingbros.com, we got dope merch. All right, Will, sorry about the delay, let's get back into this.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that we might be paying for $450,000 to immigrants who got their feelings hurt after they fucking illegally came into our country. That seems concerning. I'm pretty I like the idea of going one for one with South and Central American countries and sending them one Antifa for every fucking hardworking human being we get, because Antifa mm-hmm. are not human beings; they are fucking human garbage. I'm all for that, but there's got to be some level of control here. And the expectation shouldn't be that you can come here and break our laws and then get paid for it, because we're seeing the effects of that shit right now in Minneapolis and New York and Los Angeles when you take on those kinds of attitudes, where not only do I not get penalized for my crime, but in some ways I get incentivized. What do you think is going to happen? More crime, motherfucker. Of course it is. I mean, broken window theory is not fantasy. This has been applied since the late 19th century. We know that this shit works. And we're not applying in any way to our own. I mean, say what you want, but even NAFTA had stricter regulations than fucking Joe Biden does now. Although he voted for that too, I believe.
I mean, in their defense, like, should jail be a bad time?
I guess that's a good question. That's a good question, actually. So Scandinavian countries, it's not.
It's actually not.
You're in an apartment. So if you're talking about Skinner and operant conditioning, if you're trying to recondition somebody to, if you're trying to recondition them to be a functioning member of society instead of just institutionalizing them, yeah, that's, there's probably a conversation that needs to happen there where it's not just getting raped all the time and converting to Islam. You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, yeah. that's a fucked up way to say it. But if you're a white person and you go into jail, then you have to join the Aryan Nation so you don't get raped every day, I guess. Right. And get weird tattoos or whatever the fuck. And if you're black, they have gangs. And if you're a fucking Latino dude, there's several gangs as well.
That's why every white person is a liar when you ask them, would you ever be a Nazi? And they say no. If there's a non-zero chance that you could go to jail, there is a non-zero chance that you could become a Nazi.
That's fair. I mean, unless you're just willing to accept death over a Nazi or over Nazism, which is probably the better choice, to be honest. Just kill yourself, but...
Yeah, then do enough time in jail to have to join the Aryan Nation. That becomes on the table.
There's a breaking point, sure. Yeah. But I feel like the point at which I would reach, fine, I'll just become a Nazi, is like sentence-wise, I would probably just kill myself.
Yeah.
Or kill a bunch of people and see what happens. Can you just bring me all the pedophiles over here? We're going to have a conversation right quick, and I'd start stabbing people.
Till you get put in solitary and you can just chill.
I guess. I mean, let's talk about the psychology behind somebody that becomes a Nazi in solitary confinement. What's going through their fucking mind? What reading materials is this fucking public person providing these assholes that they're converting to Nazism? Anyways, yeah, that's a decent conversation to have. And it goes, to the point of, like social welfare, which I brought up earlier. Over the last 40, 45 years or so, the left has made a consistent effort to keep certain groups of people on the tit or to reward their behavior, whether it's negative or not. And there's only one. I've been trying over the last couple of months, really like thinking thought experiments, challenging my own assumptions about why the fuck would. I mean, we've already got like 13 million illegal immigrants just cruising around in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But why is it over the last like 5 or so years it's just gone wild. It's gone wild as fuck. And not only has it gone wild, because it used to be, remember when Obama was running for office, he was talking about strong borders in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then when he ran for re-election in 2012, after having deported more people than every president before him combined, was still talking about strong borders. And now we're paying people whose feelings got hurt. Mm-hmm. Like the Democratic government, who, by the way, it was Clinton, the Secretary of State, that led the charge to build all those prisons for women and kids down there for the Guatemala rush that happened back in 2013. All that shit existed under them. They built all those facilities, and then you saw the turnaround, right? During Trump, it's all racist, and then it's on January 23rd or whatever, it's not racist anymore. There's little fucking Mexican kids wrapped up like burritos, like Chipotle burritos, all of a sudden, and it's nobody's, the fucking president doesn't even go down there to check it out, although I'm not sure what he's going to do except for fall asleep in a fucking rocking chair, you know what I mean? So there's no consistency across these things. These people don't give a fuck about any of these guys. I just can't figure out. The only thing I can think of, and I wasn't 100% sure about it until these assholes tried to wedge the process to naturalization for everybody into the fucking infrastructure bill about 2 months ago. When they tried to sneak that shit back door, and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, they just wanted to, everybody that had come over a certain amount of time, they put them on like a 6-month process to naturalization or to get a green card so they can vote and shit. Like, ah, there we go. Sweet. I mean, you suspect that.
Of course.
You suspect that that's what it is. But come on, who the fuck would do that? Well, who the fuck would do any of this shit? You know what I mean? It's bizarre to me. It's so bizarre, the world that we're living in these days. Yeah.
I mean, every single union in America used to be against illegal immigration because they knew that letting illegal immigrants in, it would hurt their wages. I mean, you go all the way back to 1975 and you look at a certain senator from Delaware, Mr. Joe Biden, when we had the Saigon crisis, what did he say about the refugees from Vietnam? He said, why are we letting these people in? We haven't vetted these people. And now what is he saying? Now illegal immigration is they're now undocumented migrants. Now you can't even call them illegal immigrants because that's racist. It's like the new civil rights issue of our time. and now you're going to give them $500,000 and naturalize them and have the anchor babies, all this chain migration. I mean, it's all part of the plan. That's what it seems like. And now it's like the Biden administration is getting people on planes from Afghanistan. Some of these people, these refugees coming over, some of them are rapists and criminals. They're letting them in back into America before they are letting in the American citizens who are still there, or the American allies who are still there. I mean, you can't look at these kinds of things happening and say that this isn't evil. I mean, truly. I mean, I think that there is a negligent aspect to it, but I think that someone is there knowing exactly what's going on. It is truly evil.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's more likely opportunism. I mean, people have tried to control societies before, and I think the smarter folks have figured out that it's best just to have contingency plans and react and take advantage of situations. Like, right. I don't think that the American government released a pestilence in America to try to get control of us. But these assholes that want control of people certainly saw it as an opportunity to do so, right? There's no question about that. And you can see it based on some of the actions they've taken.
Kind of like when people are like, look who bought airline stocks after 9/11.
Yeah.
Well, you
bought everybody it. Bought airline stock after, because you buy the dip.
Right.
Sorry.
How'd you get hooked up with PragerU?
Actually, I was in college and I was, like I said, I was a liberal atheist my entire life. And then basically went to college and was like, no one here has the same values as me. And I realized that I was actually a conservative, you know, actually going through some of my classes. They're talking about white privilege and they're talking about how bad capitalism is. And I realized like all this stuff they're talking to me about is just not true. I mean, to think that white privilege is this huge issue that is permeating society, that is destroying people, it's just completely false. You know, when I was going through high school, I mean, I was the minority as the white kid. I never felt like I was oppressing any of the black or Hispanic kids in going through high school, you know. And to think that I now had this privilege just for being white, it was wild to me. And so I started getting involved. This is a short story, obviously, but I started getting involved with a lot of different conservative groups on my campus and the Republican Party back in Colorado. And eventually I found out about PragerU and I made a video for them where I went and I asked women on my campus what they thought of the wage gap. Told myself that edit the video, shoot the video, send it to PragerU. They ended up loving the video and they said, hey, why don't you come out to LA? And I said, all right. So after 2 years of college, dropped out of school, moved to Los Angeles about 4 years ago. So I've been here ever since, making videos and all the other stuff that I do.
Nice. So I wanted to ask you about the videos in particular, because you do a lot of the man on the street stuff. And I'll this isn't a critique of anything you have done specifically, but I typically have like a pretty big problem with man on the street videos because I can't think of an easier way to like manipulate an audience.
Well, you certainly catch the person unawares. I doubt anybody is walking to class or to work or anything and they're expected to have a debate about a specific political issue.
Right.
But there's a way to do it, right? I mean, there's a way to introduce the idea as an option, like, hey, what do you think about this? And if they say, I don't really care about that, like, cool, then this conversation's over, obviously.
Right.
Have a nice day.
So that's what I was going to ask is, so, you know, you see stuff on, like, The Daily Show, for example, like Jordan Klepper or Kepler, I forget his name.
Right.
He'll go to, like, a Trump rally.
Oh, you're talking about the guy from Daily Show?
Yeah.
Comedy Central. Yeah.
Right.
They get 50,000 viewers per episode.
Yeah, their ratings are trash. But, you know, he'll go to a Trump rally, and obviously he'll find, like, the most toothless person he can find. Like literally,
right.
You know, get their wild quotes, you know, and slap it together and boom, I've got a great fucking YouTube video.
Yeah.
100%.
How do you approach that in a way, or do you approach that in a way that you know that these videos are often like super misleading? And it's fine when it's like Jimmy Kimmel doing it to just, you know, dummies about random stuff,
yeah, that's what Jay Leno did for years.
Yeah. Are you cognizant of the fact that I think a lot of people do like distrust that type of setup?
When you say distrust the type of setup, you mean in the same way that Republicans won't respond to polls, like phone calls? Because they won't. There's a 6-7% aggregate error in most national polling because of that, because Republicans, right. If you call Republicans on the phone, like, hey, what do you think about this issue? They're like, hey, suck my dick. Click. You know what I mean? How do you get somebody to, I guess, converse with you, especially considering there's a lot of clickbait assholes around out there that are just trying to 100%. Trap people and dunk on them and shit.
100%, man. I mean, the first thing that I think is important that I do is that we don't ever bum rush people. What that means is that I'm not going up to someone without asking them if it's okay that we talk to them in the first place. You know, we talk to them and say, hey, do you want to have a conversation about this? we got the mic and say, hey, we're filming this. Would you be willing to do a quick chat about this issue?
Yeah, you don't want to go Michael Moore, like pop out from behind a corner.
Right.
Why do you hate black people? Just, like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, and again, that's not going to be conducive to any sort of good conversation. I mean, I would say that before, I think that I was more. There were times where I was like, oh man, we just got this dumb person, this clip, we're going to put it up. And now, you know, all these conservatives are going to love it, you know? And I think that has been the case for some of my older videos. But I think that as I've matured and done a lot more of them, I mean, if you guys watch any of my more recent ones, you could watch the one where I asked people about gun violence, a good guy with a gun, a bad guy with a gun here in California, or what is asking people to define socialism. One, two of those that were more recent. And, you know, we're able to have great conversations with these people. And the difference is, I'm not trying to embarrass these people. I'm trying to change their mind, or at least educate them to a different point of view. I mean, I feel like that should be the point of Man on the Street videos, especially if you're doing political stuff. I get you can go and do the dumb stuff and just try and make people look stupid. It can be funny. But I mean, my mind, I didn't become a conservative because I saw some leftist on the street getting dunked on by some conservative, right? I became a conservative because I saw people with good arguments actually asking questions to people and talking about different ideas and saying that idea is the best, you know, and that's what I want it to be. I don't want to make my videos for conservatives. I want to make my videos for everyone. I want everyone to watch my videos and hopefully take something away from it and say, hey, that was a good argument, or, you know, hey, these people were able to actually have a good conversation, or it actually proves a point instead of just, hey, stupid liberal, look how dumb this guy is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's that right now it's the left's problem more so than the right, that they want. They seem to be bent on revenge. And maybe it's the same thing as socialism. Most capitalists who are not most capitalist people who engage in philosophic conversations and sociology to understand why people think the way they do would agree that. So for the most part, at the higher level, socialists don't give a fuck about poor people. They just hate rich people. You know what I mean? Mm. And in the same way, I don't think these folks care about equality. They want revenge and not actual. They call it equity now. But what it means is revenge, because revenge racism has changed the definition of what racial equity is. It used to be that it was just equality, and now it's payback. People feel like because black people, brown people, women, whomever it is, gay people have suffered at some point during their history under the thumb of what's perceived to be a specific group of people, which is mostly straight white male, right? Mm-hmm. Equality is not our goal. They won't say this out loud until you ask them and pin them down on it, but they will say that since we had it rough for a while, not me specifically, not me personally, right. I've never had it rough, but since some people had it rough at some point, then it's okay if white people have it rough for a while. And that's fine if you want a war, right? That's how wars persist. The Marshall Plan didn't include cruising around and kicking the shit out of German business people. That it didn't, because Volkswagen still exists, IG Farben still exists, etc. It existed of rebuilding the fucking relationship in the country so they could take care of itself. And if you think that this push towards what you call equity, racial equity in society is somehow going to be a solution to any of this that doesn't involve conflict, then you're wrong. And if you're doing it for revenge, just say that.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing it for revenge, then I'm going to fight you physically. I'm going to fight you physically to stop you from doing that. But if you want equality, I will fight other people stopping you physically so you get equality. I think that's maybe a subtle or inane distinction to some people, but that's an important one to me, because as somebody who has fought in war, I want every punch I throw to have purpose. And I don't want to pick my fists up unless it's time to actually fight. And I'm on your fucking side.
Right.
Just act right, motherfucker. I'm not telling you what to believe or think or feel or when, where, how, and why to protest. I am telling you that if you want equality, it's there. If you want what you call racial equity, which includes payback, then I'm going to punch you in your fucking face.
I think there is a uniquely... or maybe not uniquely, especially American aspect to it all that is simpler than revenge, that kind of gets overlooked, especially because people on the left in particular kind of don't like to identify as American, but they still are.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I was going to say, If you drive through any neighborhood in any country in America and you see an American flag hanging off that building, what do you think? Like, who would you say they vote for? Like, how many? I've had this argument with people before, and they're like, "No, that's not real." I'm like, "All right, cool. Next time you drive home from August to November during an election season, during election year, drive around, look at where the yard signs are, and then look up and see if there's a flag on that building. I guarantee you, you're not gonna see American flags on liberal houses anymore, and that's a fucking problem, man. It's not a problem. They're free to do whatever the fuck they want. All right, I don't care about that shit. Do whatever you want, but if you don't want to be here, then fucking leave.
Right.
I guess I don't know what to fucking tell you, man. It's one thing if you disagree with what's going on in the country and you want to get involved in the civic process or the business processes or whatever it happens to be, just the conversation maybe, and change things to the better. Starting at the lowest possible level, preferably, but either way, that's fine. But if you're just trying to tear the country down, I'm not going to let you do that, man. I'm just not going to let you do it.
What I was going to say is the uniquely American aspect I see, which is ironic, like I said, like, and like you just agreed, because they're kind of like, I don't want to be an American or whatever, is I think it's a lot of it is competitiveness.
Probably, yeah. I mean, just from dunking on each other, it's just escalation.
Yeah, like I really think it's not neurotic competitiveness that is kind of ingrained in Americans, whether they want it to be or not.
Well, they should read Nash's equilibrium theory and realize how fucking off they are, because they're way the fuck off on that particular point. Way off. Cooperation is why human civilization exists. Otherwise, we would all be in separate caves. And there would be like 12 of us. We would all be retarded because we'd be inbred. No, socialization happens in every fucking level. As a matter of fact, these eggs we discovered last week, the dinosaur eggs
that had
we
just DNA discovered. In it?
Yeah, what we found out about that is that they lived in relatively complex societies and took care of each other. Like they're one. Female would lay eggs and then males would protect it and other females would tend to the eggs and shit like that, right? There's cooperative. This Marxists have co-opted the phrase cooperatives, co-ops or whatever the fuck, but that's it. That everything you do in life is that, unless you're living in a fucking cave somewhere. Because even if you're living in by alone and don't talk to anybody here in America, you're getting revenue and food and energy somewhere. Like you are in a partnership, de facto or otherwise, with somebody somewhere. And the obvious solution to that is you take whatever you, what would I want out of any partnership, and reduce it down to the things that are absolutely essential, and map that onto every fucking thing you do in life. It's called principles, right? Everything you do, I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to steal from people. I'm not going to injure people. I'm not going to hurt their feelings for no fucking reason. I'm going to try to do what I can to use my power and position to lift someone up. Not only because it's the right thing to do, but because if I build that society, when I fall down, somebody lifts my ass up, right? That's the whole fucking point. And if you don't, if your opinion on that is just that, well, white people are bad, so we're going to tear this country down, then I will fucking murder you and your homes. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, we're not doing that shit here. This is the first experiment where people have all the fucking force. You know what I mean? The first social, the first Republican, the first governmental experience in human society where the actual physical strength rests almost entirely with the people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is not going to fucking happen here. I'm tired of dealing with this bullshit. I'm tired of it because it doesn't fucking work, man. Like it sucks that people have to suffer and we can stop it, and we can't because people won't shut the fuck up. It drives me crazy every single day. Every time I see some fucked up situation, somebody that clearly needs mental help, somebody who, if they were just given like some education and a capital investment, would be a successful entrepreneur instead of a shithead. Shit drives me crazy. And it's fucking constantly. Somebody just said, is Will Witt still on? I guess that means I'm ranting again.
Will, I wanted to ask you, because I don't know if you'd call yourself a comedian, but you're certainly like a humorist at the very least, right? You'd use a lot of humor and whatnot in your projects, both book and videos and stuff like that. And you kind of said earlier, you know, you think comedy's dead, or current mainstream comedy kind of sucks. I would tend to agree with that. How do conservatives move? It's not even their comedy, but it seems like conservatives are sort of the cultural outliers now.
In a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of, like, Artie Lang, Nick DiPaolo, all those guys at Compound Media up there, like Aaron Berg and all those guys, and Gino Visconti and shit. They're conservative, but there's probably places that the newer guys, so those older guys who have played shows all over the country before can probably get booked in a lot of places.
Right.
But the younger guys that are associated with them, I doubt they're going to get booked independently at, like, the comedy store and shit. You know what I mean?
But so, I mean, I don't even just mean stand-ups. I mean any kind of, like, a show even. You know, like a sitcom or something. Oh, that's like a never satire or something.
Anything
that
requires a production house, you're not going to get that because they're all run by China. No shit. Like, 5 of the 8 LA studios are run by China now, so you're not going to fucking get that. There's no way. Yeah.
So how do you see conservatives or even just moderates or just people who like to laugh? And
like
not,
independent creation of whatever it happens
to be. Right. Because you work for a humongous independent creator. So what do you see is the future of that?
I mean, it's really alternative media. I mean, it's people getting on social media and making a stand on there, doing their videos there. I mean, it's like your guys' podcast, or it's like my show, or any of the other people who are coming out and making comedy stuff, or someone who's doing a conservative show. I mean, I wish that the whole, you know, fake news thing that Trump talked about wasn't just a conservative talking point. I wish that it was like an American talking point. I wish everyone could get on board with not trusting the mainstream media or the mainstream institutions in this country and realize that the alternative media, alternative comedy, all this kind of stuff is really the future. I mean, but it takes people being willing to sacrifice a level of wealth or a paycheck or whatever it is, or fame or stardom, by going to first a mainstream place and saying, screw that, I'm going to go alternatively and maybe take a pay cut or maybe take, you know, an audience cut, whatever it is. But knowing that you are actually speaking. We're talking about creators. Yeah. Actually going to these places and saying, you know, maybe I'm not going to make as much money on YouTube ad revenue, or and maybe my audience will be smaller because I'm not on a major network or whatever it is. But you are speaking truth. And that is the most important thing. I mean, the most important pursuit in our entire lives is pursuing truth. That is 100% the most important. And if you feel like you are not doing that, then you will not live a fulfilling life.
Right.
Truly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything in the end is a meritocracy. There's a lot of people get powerful and rich enough and influential enough to interrupt that temporarily, but the meritocracy persists. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you can eat shitty food all the time and blah, 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 and maybe you can get away with it for a while, but eventually that shit's going to catch up to you and you're going to fucking die. You know what I mean? And in the same way, every feudalist system, every fucking authoritarian system of any kind that's ever been established has been torn down by the people from inside. Every single one of them forever, right? So it's not like we're gonna figure it out. It's not like there's some utopia on the other side of the mountain or anything like that. People need to understand what reality is, and it's that life is fucked up, and we can make it less fucked up for ourselves and for other people relatively easily, actually, if we just stop being cunts all the time. I really do get frustrated by all of this. As someone like losing friends, you know, over 2 dozen friends now to this horse shit over the last 20 years, it really puts things in perspective. It puts a lot of shit in perspective. I think, to quote Rambo, the colonel asked him what he wanted. He said, "I want what every other fucking veteran wants, for my country to love me as much as I love it." If you want to fucking support veterans, take a little bit of time out of your day and think about what their sacrifice might be worth to you. Is it worth continuing to have this conversation? We're missing out. When the left is crazy as fucking talking about critical race theory and 1619 bullshit all the time, and the right is defending against that and saying that that fucking, or just all the corporatist bullshit that's happened over the last couple of years, then we miss out on the very necessary conversation that happens between conservatives and liberals to find an equilibrium in our society where everybody is taken care of to the best of our ability, right? And still left alone for the most part. That's the point of the conversation between the left and the right. It's mom and dad figuring out where to go on vacation. And if you interrupt that process, if mom and dad are pissed off at each other, if they hate each other, if they're bitter about the relationship, then it doesn't matter what dad says. Mom's going to take that and say, fuck you. I don't want to hear that shit, even if it's a good idea. And that is where we are in this fucking discourse in this country, and it must stop.
Well, I need to reevaluate my marriage real quick.
Yeah, well, you had a baby. That'll fix it.
Yes, that's why we had it.
Yep, yeah, I'm a counselor.
It's working.
It's not working.
No,
it's I could tell from the look on your face it's not working.
Yeah, that's all the Braves lost last night, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was a rough one. Are you a baseball fan?
Dodgers fan. I mean, I was expecting them to, you know, I was hoping they were going to pull through, but, you know, they're having some problems with their pitchers. So obviously didn't do as well as I would have liked. But they had that 11-2 game, man. You know,
it was only a matter of time before that offense got crazy. I think we talked about this on our sports show the other day. I think Max Muncy being out, he sets the tone. Like, their entire offense is centered around the take and rake, the 3-run homer, right?
Yeah.
You guys that can get on base as much as possible. And Muncy did it to like 43% of the time sometimes. But he was out and they didn't set the tone and they lost to the Braves. This has been a weird two series.
Yeah.
Like, the ALCS went about how I expected it to, but the NLCS and now the World Series have both been very bizarre to me.
Wouldn't have called a 3-1 lead in either of those series.
No, certainly not. Well, sucks to be a Dodgers fan. You guys spent $250 million on your team and again,
Dodgers fans are just Braves fans now.
I know you guys are fucking suffering like we is. This is equanimity right here. Yeah. I want you to suffer because I had to as a Braves fan.
This was us in the 90s is what you're dealing with now is just the best team every year. You only got one championship. Right?
That's fine. Well, at least you get to live in LA, right?
Yeah.
So tell us where we can find you, we can find your book and all that stuff.
On social media, anywhere at The Will Witt. That's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. And then my book is available anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies.
Cool. Is it Witt with two T's, right? Is it the second T silent?
Yeah. Yeah, second T silent. Yeah.
Great. Just for the audience, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Well, thanks for showing up today. We appreciate it. It was a good show. I had fun talking to you. Good luck over there. And we're going to check out that book again.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. For Will Witt and Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. See you later. See you in hell, I guess. Yeah, see you.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.